Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Again, Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again for another week. We are on to week 9. And like true NFL fashion, the slate got flipped upside down and threw it, tossed into the spin cycle right out the gate. I mean, so many things came out, you know, really quickly into this week. You know, everybody was excited about this Chiefs and Packers game. It was going to be the first Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes. Well, that all got thrown out once Aaron Rodgers got ruled out with COVID. So he is out for that slate. We get Jordan Love at 4,400 on that slate. So this slate is just not as appealing, or I should say not as obvious as it was before, because the Chiefs open has dropped dramatically. I went from, I think, a 2-point game to 8.5, minus 8.5 for the Chiefs in that game with Jordan Love. And so now I do think there's some other interesting games here that we can target, you know, in this week 9 matchup. So before we do, joined as always by Maddie DFS. How you doing tonight, Maddie?
Doing good. Doing good. Hoping some of these games this weekend are better than this one on Thursday night. The Colts have run for, 270 yards, and it's 42 points in 3 quarters. So looking for some more competitive games this weekend, which I think we will see and we can break down.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it. Let's jump right into the quarterback position as we always do. We go player or position by position, not game by game, which is the optimal strategy that we like to take. And so let's start things off. So we got Josh Allen, who's $8,200. Starting kicking things off. Then you have Kyler Murray, who I don't know if he's going to play or not. I don't think he's gotten in a practice this week. We'll have to see on his status for this week, but he's 7,900. Pat Mahomes is 7,800. Lamar Jackson, 7,300. Justin Herbert, 7K. Dak is 6,900. Joe Burrow, 6,800. Jalen Hurts, 6,700. And then you have Kirk Cousins at 6,200. That wraps up the top tier of quarterbacks. Maddie, where are we starting this week?
Yeah, so I know you can't say the same because I know you're going to load up on KC Green Bay, but I'm actually kind of glad that the news has taken us off that game because there's other games that I wanted to play anyways, and I was going to be absolutely terrified by fading Kansas City Green Bay. Not fading it completely, but, you know, just not going, you know, having a full-on stack in like single-entry tournaments, which, you know, most of the field probably would have had, considering how bad the Kansas City defense has been. You know, you would have seen a lot of Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams and their secondary pieces. So it definitely changes the slate up, like you said. But there's other really good spots here on this slate and spots that I was going to attack, whether we had Aaron Rodgers in a shootout or not. And it starts with me at the top. Josh Allen, I think you can play him here. He just had a monster stinker last week against the Dolphins, and now he gets a bounce-back spot against Jacksonville, which Jacksonville's actually been decent against the run this year. They rank in the top half of the league in all, you know, adjusted metrics that we look at. And you beat Jacksonville through the air, and we've said it time and time again that Buffalo does not care what the team does on the other side of the ball in terms of scoring points. Like, they will win 40-0 if that's, you know, what the opposing team is going to allow them. So Josh Allen is absolutely in play at 8,200 at the top. From there, Lamar Jackson, 7,300 is the next guy that I'm looking at against Minnesota in what should be pegged as a shootout. It's got a total over 50. And we've seen this, like, you think when you think of Baltimore, you think defense, but they just gave up 41 points to Cincy 2 weeks ago. They played in a shootout that was the Island game against Indianapolis. It was 31-25. Back in weeks one and two, they lost to Las Vegas 27-33. They beat Kansas City 36-35. So we've seen a handful of shootouts with Baltimore this year. And you know, when Minnesota is forced to pass the ball, you know, we see guys like Justin Jefferson get a big boost in fantasy production. So I really like that game. You know where the ball is going on both sides. And Lamar can break the slate at $7,300. From there, I think Jalen Hurts is interesting. The thing that sticks out to me on that Chargers and Philly game is the pace of play. Philly ranks fourth in situation neutral pace, and the Chargers rank sixth. So that's by far going to be the fastest paced game on the slate in terms of pace of play on both sides of the ball. So I like Hurts and even Herbert for that matter, for that reason. I think that's a game where, you know, you know where the ball's going pretty much on both sides. And I would almost rather play Hurts on one side because he gives you the rushing stats. And then that way you don't feel like, you know, you need to jam in a Philly piece as a run back. And you can get all of the Chargers points pretty much from Austin Eckler on the other side. So definitely some interesting ways to build around that game, but that's definitely a game that I have interest in targeting. And then after that, I think some news that's maybe, you know, gonna not be filed under big news this week, but is definitely notable for DFS. I mentioned it to you briefly before we hopped on, is the fact that Tyrod Taylor is back for Houston. It's not significant. I won't call it significant, but it's definitely a boost to that offense because Tyrod Taylor is a much better quarterback than Davis Mills. And we saw it in week one. Houston scored 37 points against Jacksonville in a game that they blew out Jacksonville. So this Miami defense ranks bottom of the barrel in any metric you look at. They give up a ton of points. They just had one good game last week against Buffalo. Don't let that scare you. The fact that I'm not saying I'm playing Tyrod Taylor. I'm saying that I think Houston can put up points, and Tua is in a good spot to smash Houston on the other side at only 5,800. Miami ranks second in pass rate in neutral script situations. So Miami's going to throw early. They're going to throw often. And as long as Houston can keep it close, which I think, you know, with Tyrod being back is a boost for that, that route of for that game to go. I really like Tua. And he gets, you know, week two of Devontae Parker being back from injury, came back last week, saw, you know, double-digit targets. We'll talk about him when we get the wide receiver. But Miami is just they're close to all systems go, minus Will Fuller. Playing against Houston, they're going to throw the ball a lot, and hopefully Tyrod being back can push them on the other side. So those are really the four quarterback situations that I'm looking at. And, you know, like I said, I was going to play these guys whether we had Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes in a shootout or not, because I think that these are all great spots. So I'm curious to hear where you're at QB.
Yeah, so I think for me, one, you already mentioned one of them is Lamar Jackson. I absolutely love this game. This Baltimore-Minnesota game, I think, has true shootout potential into it. $7,300. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot to really stack him up with some of his pass catchers, whether it's Rashad Bateman, Marquise Brown, or Mark Andrews in this offense. So I really like targeting this game. I feel like this game, you know, like I said, has some pretty strong upside to shoot out. And like I said, at only 7,300, you know, being what the fifth priced quarterback on the, you know, on the slate, I really like Lamar Jackson quite a bit, and I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him. I think some other guys that are being a little bit under, overlooked, I should say, is Derek Carr. He's only 5,900 on this slate against the Giants. The Giants defense, you can definitely throw on them. You know, he has really, he's kind of turned a corner this year, because one thing that always kind of held him back is he never really wanted to throw the deep ball. And, you know, he was always a guy that had a high deep ball completion percentage, but he just didn't throw the ball deep very much. But so far on the year, he's fourth most in deep ball attempts on the season. And, you know, they're really pushing the ball downfield. Now, of course, you know, they have lost, obviously, Henry Ruggs. You know, he is done, as he probably should be, but we're not going to get into that part of it. But they still have Bryan Edwards that they can utilize as a deep threat. He's second on the team in deep targets. He has 10 to the 12 of Henry Ruggs. And then you have Zay Jones, who also can kind of step in and fill that role a little bit as well. Darren Waller should be back in this game. So I like Derek Carr quite a bit this week. He's only 5,900, so he's cheap. And again, his pass catchers are extremely cheap outside of Darren Waller. So I really like getting to some Derek Carr at 5,900. I completely agree on Tua. That's he was going to be the guy I talk about. You know, really, I mean, since he's came back outside of, I think, last week in a really tough matchup against the Buffalo Bills, like, he's played really, really well in those other two starts that he had, you know, returning from injury. So I definitely think Tua's at play. Now, I would be remiss to not have this conversation. You know, you got the really cheap quarterbacks this week, Taysom Hill. We'll have to see. They have yet to announce a starter. Now, he did practice again in full today, but Taysom Hill is only 5,500 against Atlanta. We've seen this play out before where he smashed Atlanta and two of his four starts that he had against Atlanta, but he's only 5,500, and let's just assume that he starts. And then you also have a couple other guys like P.J. Walker, who's only 5K. Looks like he could possibly get the start over Sam Darnold if Sam Darnold is out. And then you have, of course, Jordan Love, who is only, what, 4,400, I think, this week. Do you have any interest in any of these guys?
No. I mean, semi-yes, but I think at the end of the day, I'm probably going to end up just getting up to Tua at 5,800 because that's not that much more expensive than these other guys. I mean, I think Daniel Jones is interesting at 5,600. And obviously, you know, Taysom, if he's the starting quarterback, you pretty much know what you're going to get out of him. But I just think Tua has a bigger upside in a game that, you know, neither team is going to play defense. And Miami, we know, is throwing the ball at a higher pass rate. They're second in pass rate in neutral situations this year. So, I mean, they're going to throw whether it's early in the game or, you know, whether they're trailing or whatnot. It doesn't matter. They're going to pass. So, I can't play Jordan Love. I'm not playing P.J. Walker if he starts for Sam Darnold, who's questionable. Taysom Hill would probably be the only guy of those cheapies that I would get down to. But again, I think I'd rather just pay the $300 extra and play Tua.
Yeah, I do. I do think, I mean, fuck Taysom Hill, really. Listen, for just being honest, you know, shout out D-Bro. I told him I was going to say that. But if he plays and he's the starter, like, it will be hard not to have some interest in him because of his Konami code upside, his ability to rush for, you know, 60 to 80 rushing yards and at only 5,500 in a great matchup. But I also think he's going to carry a ton of ownership if he is, if he's active in this game, or not active, but if he starts, if he's a starting quarterback of this team, because everybody's going to want to play him. He's cheap. I think you could probably run him naked if you really wanted to, not really have to stack him with anybody or, you know, so.
Yeah, I would definitely run him naked.
If his ownership gets out of control, I probably wouldn't have any really very little interest. I shouldn't say any, but I would have very little interest in him. But if he is going to be under-owned, then I guess I would have a little more interest in him just because he's so cheap. But I also think, you know, there's not a lot of, like, you know, we'll get to it. But, like, you know, the running backs, there's not, like, there's no, you know, Christian McCaffrey at 10K this week that you're trying to jam into your lineup. Even at wide receiver, I mean, the highest price wide receiver is 8,200. And so,
yeah,
I mean, so you know, we don't really have any of those guys that we just have to pay up for that, like, you know, you're trying to fit other guys in. So I don't necessarily know if it's something you have to do, but the upside's certainly there for somebody like Taysom. I can't play Jordan Love. I'm sure some people are going to talk themselves into it. People are going to say, oh, they're playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense is terrible, but I would argue that it's just Dan Sorensen is terrible, really, to be honest with you. I saw this crazy stat that if you took away Dan Sorensen's yardage that he's allowed, the Chiefs' pass defense would actually be 10th.
Like, that's bad.
You go from, like, he is allowed.
Because they're, like league worse.
Yeah, I know. And, like, that's how bad. He's allowed over, like, it's like 350 or 400 passing yards or receiving yards on the season. Like, he is an absolute turnstile sieve. And they took him out for a few weeks, which is the games against and then they put him back in last week. And wouldn't you know it, immediately, let's just go hit John Ross for a 60-yard completion on Dan Sorensen. The guy's fucking awful. But regardless of that. So, like, to me, I just don't think it's absolutely necessary. And I think that you can see this Chiefs team just destroy the Packers in this game, especially on the road in Arrowhead. So,
you want to go ahead and cover defense?
Cover defense?
2,300 Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a lot of Chiefs defense this week.
Okay, if we're good on defense, we don't even need to touch on it at the end. Just play the Chiefs at 2,300.
Yeah, that's gonna be the defense that I pay down for. Other than that, I mean, do we really have any other quarterbacks? I mean, yeah, I think some other guys, you know, some more obvious plays. I think Justin Herbert, I don't think people are going to want to play him, especially after really kind of two bad performances from him in a row. But I do think this could be a good bounce back spot at only 7K. I don't really have much interest in Dak just because I just don't think Denver's really going to push them the pace of this game to really make them score. And so if they don't, I just don't think you probably see them just lean on the run. Other than that, you know, Kirk Cousins, I think, is interesting too at 6,200. We've seen him in spots where they've had to really throw the ball and open up the offense that, you know, he can put up some good numbers. So I don't mind him either. But I think those are the guys that I have the most interest in this week.
The only other guy I'll add is Joe Burrow. Cincinnati's near top of the league in pass rate. And also worth noting that Burrow's two highest attempt games last year both came against Cleveland. And they were like mid 40s. So we've seen, you know, him be turned loose. And if that's the game plan against Cleveland is to throw the ball, I think Burrow, Chase, and Higgins are very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, you want to jump over to running back?
Yep.
All right. So running back, like I said, is kind of interesting this week. You have Alvin Kamara leading things off at 8,200. And boy, oh boy. We have Christian McCaffrey, who is on the 8K, who returned this week. Now, we'll have to see if he's actually going to be able to play this week or not, because he only got in a very limited practice yesterday. So we'll have to see where he stands. But if he plays this week at only 8K, there will not be a lineup that I have without Christian McCaffrey.
Correct.
Yep. He's just 100%. He's like a free square at 8K. He's normally a running back we pay 10K for, you know, or higher, and you still play him. At 8K, it's absolutely ridiculous. And New England's terrible against the run as well. So, I want all the Christian McCaffrey at 8K. Situation to monitor. But Austin Eckler, 7,900. Dalvin Cook, 7,700. Aaron Jones, 7,200. Joe Mixon at 71. Zeke at 7K. We got Saquon Barkley at 6,800, but I don't think he plays. He should get clear of COVID by tomorrow, but I don't think he's going to practice. He obviously hasn't been on practice because he's on the COVID list. Nick Chubb, 6,700. James Robinson, 6,400. Cordarrelle Patterson, 6,300. Josh Jacobs at 62. Chuba at 6,100. And Damian Harris at 6K, and that wraps it up. So where are we at running back this week? Let me ask you this first. Two things. Well, only one thing. Dalvin Cook, 7,700. Just feels incredibly too cheap for him. He hasn't had that kind of signature Dalvin Cook game where he really explodes. I think he only has one game this year with over 20 DK points. And this feels like a spot where he absolutely could erupt. And I at 7,700, that's just too cheap for him. He's normally a guy that we're paying in the upper 8 to 9K range, and he just hasn't had to do that.
Yeah, so Baltimore actually ranks 23rd in second level yards and 27th in open field yards. So if you can get Dalvin, you know, out into space here, he absolutely can go nuclear in this game. So I think Dalvin's interesting. I think everybody's going to play Austin Eckler against Philly, and for good reason. You know, Eckler gets there on the ground through the air. He gets you there no matter what the game script is. So definitely think Eckler is a top play this week. even considering his price at 7,900. Completely agree on McCaffrey. AK is a free square if he plays. He's coming back off a hamstring, and hamstrings are just something where you don't play the guy again until he's fully healthy, because it's just something he's just going to re-injure over and over and over again. And he's just going to keep sitting out if you don't fully rest him. And I think Carolina realized that when they tried to bring him back only a week after he got hurt, and then he practiced for like 2 days, and then they put him on IR because they were like, okay, it's not going to get better. It's only going to linger. We're just going to shut him down and get him fully healthy. So now that he spent 3 or 4 weeks, you know, completely doing nothing, he's finally back. And if he plays, he's an absolute lock. I agree. So I really like him. If Aaron Rodgers was playing, I would have had a lot of Aaron Jones exposure. But the fact that Love is going to start, I'm concerned that Aaron Jones is not going to get as many targets as he should. Because in the preseason, I mean, even with, you know, pass catching Kylan Hill, Love rarely targeted the running back position. It was only like one or two times in his several quarters that he played. So I do have concern that Aaron Jones isn't going to get those Aaron Rodgers checkdowns. And 7,200, if he's not getting those, I mean, he's not getting all of the rushing attempts in that offense anymore. AJ Dillon is starting to take over, you know, a 50-50 split pretty much in terms of rushing attempts. So there's definitely concern for Aaron Jones. You know, he's in play because if he does get those targets, if they're trailing the entire time, you know, I mean, he legit could see 8 to 10 targets, but I'm just worried that they all go to receivers instead, you know, which we can talk about some of the cheap Green Bay pieces. But I mean, other than that, I think Nick Chubb at 6,700, nobody's going to play him. Cincinnati's been good at defending the run, but as we saw with Michael Carter and Ty Johnson last week, you can throw to running backs over and over and over and over and over again against that defense. And we haven't seen Nick Chubb see like more than one target and barely at all this year in a game. And so there is concern with that. But I mean, without Kareem Hunt, he pretty much split the routes run last week with D'Ernest Johnson. And so there isn't, it's not like they're just, you know, like Kareem Hunt was taking over all the routes run. They're splitting it. And so, you know, I think that there is opportunity there for Chubb's target share to go up in this game. And this is a game, you know, that could be a sneaky shootout. We've seen Cleveland turn into shootouts multiple times this year. And, you know, we didn't talk about Baker Mayfield, but the whole OBJ situation, Baker's numbers are actually way better with OBJ not on the field. And I think it's because he doesn't feel like he has to force the ball to him. So, you know, if that offense is a little bit better for whatever reason, when OBJ isn't playing, then, you know, they're going to put up points and Chubb will be a big part of that. So Nick Chubb, 6,700, nobody's going to play him. I think, you know, because of the matchup, we could see his target share go up in this game. And you're going to, if you get 5 to 6 targets from Chubb in addition to 20 carries, you know, he's a slate breaker at 6,700, because he can go for, you know, 130 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. And then if you throw in, you know, a couple receptions for, you know, 40 yards or something like that, you're looking at over 30 points for 6,700. So, I think Chubb is very interesting. Outside of that, I mean, it gets pretty gross pretty fast. Booker is interesting against Vegas. Gaskin is interesting against Houston. Elijah Mitchell is interesting against Arizona. But these aren't guys that, you know, jump off the page as, oh, I have to play these guys, considering each of these guys are, you know, upper fives, almost 6K. So you're still looking for that 25 to 30 point upside. And I just don't know that those guys, you know, I feel great about them getting me there.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the upper echelon guys, like I do have interest in Alvin Kamara. I know other people won't. But I do think that with him, it is a great matchup against Atlanta. And I know people are going to look at what happened last year, because I mean, I've just been seeing it all week on Twitter. You know, oh, well, you know, look at if Taysom Hill's a starter, you know, look what Alvin Kamara did last year with Taysom Hill, which is just a really terrible take, because essentially, you know, you had the game against Denver where there was no quarterbacks, and so they didn't have to throw the ball at all. But the only game that they were really pushed, and they were in negative game script, and they had to open up the offense and throw the ball a lot was against the Philly game where they lost that game, and he saw 10 targets in that game. And like, so some of it's just ridiculous of this thought that like he's just going to be like phased out of the offense, or he's not going to see the target share that we typically see from him. So $8,200 against Atlanta, Alvin Kamara, I like. And I don't think people, a lot of people are going to go, as many people are going to go there as they should. I don't have to say anything about Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler's always in play. The dude's an absolute monster. Great matchup against Philly. I think if, you know, in certain terms of the pay down options at running back, I do have interest in a couple of guys. And one, I don't mind Josh Jacobs at $6,200 in this matchup against the Giants. The Giants are really bad against the run. Now, Jacobs has been, I would say, I would classify him as decent. I don't think he's a guy that has like 30-point upside or anything like that. He's not heavily involved in the passing game. He does see targets, but he only averages around 3.5 to 4 targets per game. But he does, you know, he has a game where he has 5 receptions, and he has another game with 4 receptions on the season. He has scored a touchdown in every game but one that he's played in so far this year. But he is seeing a lot of opportunities, and I think that this could be a spot where, you know, if you don't want to go with any of the pass catchers here at 6,200, nobody's going to play him, especially at that price. And I think he's in play against this Giants defense. And so I like getting some Josh Jacobs. And then I love Myles Gaskin this week at $5,800. We've seen since Malcolm Brown has went down to IR, Myles Gaskin over the last 2 weeks has seen almost 30 carries. And so he's really taken over this backfield away from, you know, where it was kind of like a 3-man committee, where it's kind of went full on to Myles Gaskin. And this is one of the best matchups he's going to see all year. Houston is absolutely atrocious against the run. And they're actually pretty good against the pass, or they have been so far this year. They're a top 12 in pass DVOA, but they're bottom at run DVOA. So I think Myles Gaskin gets a lot of run here. And so at $5,800, and he is the pass catching back as well. And if they do somehow fall behind, you know, we saw Tyrod earlier in the year kind of be able to make this offense relevant. And if they are behind, Myles Gaskin is going to see pass catching work as well. So I just think it's a win-win for Myles Gaskin, and he's only $5,800. So if you want to pay up for one of these high-priced guys and pay a little bit down, I like getting to Myles Gaskin here in this offense. Past that, like, I think Daryl Williams is in play. I know that everybody that played Showdown and really all of Twitter was a buzz with Derek Gore, who honestly, like, they even interviewed him today. Derek Gore did the local media and their media availability, and even he said he had no idea he was even going to play in that game. So, you know, but he's a guy that Andy Reid has really talked about. Was hyping all off, or was all preseason, played really well in the preseason. But despite all that, Daryl Williams still played 65, almost 70% of the opportunities in this backfield, and he exclusively played in the second half. And so if we do feel like that this is a game that they're going to be able to kind of take control of, I think Daryl Williams is a play at his price tag at only $5,700 in this matchup against Green Bay. Green Bay is a defense that you can run the football on. So I do like him as well as an option. And then I think Boston Scott is interesting at only $5,200. He played 51% of the snaps last week. They did kind of split this workload pretty evenly across the board between him, Gainwell, and Jordan Howard. But a lot of it just because of game script. I mean, they were terrible, they just absolutely blew out the Lions in that game. And so they didn't really have to do a whole lot. But I think Boston Scott in a game against the Chargers, I think makes a little sense. He has the pass catching upside as well. Only $5,200. So I don't mind him just because of the matchup that he has. But past that, like paying down for any of these pay down running backs, there's nobody there. Maybe if Elijah Mitchell were to miss in this game, because he has had some limited practices so far this week, because I actually like Elijah Mitchell in a game against Arizona, especially one if Kyler Murray does not play, because we're staring down the barrel of Colt McCoy being the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals if Kyler Murray were to miss. So, but it's out. Elijah Mitchell has got in a limited practice today. He missed practice on Wednesday, so we'll have to see where he stands come Friday. But if he doesn't, I do think either Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon would make some sense too.
Yeah, I think I agree. I'm not sure I'm going to go down. I'm not sure I'm going to pay down super far at running back, but Yeah, I think I agree with all of that.
Yeah, the slate isn't as like plentiful with the pay down running backs like we had over the last, like last week. You had Michael Carter, who I remember we talked about, and a lot of other guys that you can kind of pay down for. This week, it's just not really there. I think it's the top guys, and then maybe you sprinkle in a couple of these mid 5K guys. But that's probably as far as I'm looking to go. So if you don't have anybody else, I think we can jump over to wide receiver.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I was gonna briefly mention Rex Burkhead, but I'm not gonna do that.
That's where we're at.
Because I just thought it was funny. You were talking about cheap running backs last week, and all I could think about was David Johnson popping in my head because he was 4,200 in a game that they were gonna trail the entire time against the Rams. And I was talking to Debro about him on like Friday or Saturday, and we were just going back and forth on if he was viable player or not. And I played like 11% of the snaps in a game, first game without Mark Ingram there. And, you know, Rex Burkhead got a ton of runs. So, yeah, no, I'm not mentioning him. I just thought that
it's crazy when you think about with David Johnson how much money they're paying him to absolutely do nothing.
Yeah, the fact that they traded DeAndre Hopkins for him, too, is something. Speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, we can go to wide receiver. I don't want to talk about Houston running back.
David Johnson was so electric those few years when Bruce Arians was there and everything else.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Just not the same guy anymore. So many injuries is kind of taking that away. So anyways, let's jump over to wide receiver, keeping things moving here. Davante Adams is back from the COVID list. He's 8,200. I expect he's going to see a ton of targets from Jordan Love. And then you have Tyreek Hill at 7,900, Debo at 7,800, Stephon Diggs at 7,700, Jamar Chase at 7,600, Justin Jefferson at 75, CeeDee Lamb at 72, Mike Williams at 71, DeAndre Hopkins, who may not play in this game, is 7K, Adam Thielen, 6,900, Keenan Allen, 6,700, DJ Moore, 6,400, Brandon Cooks at 6,100, and Marquise Brown at 6K. So that's kind of the list. When it comes to wide receiver for me this week, I think, at least in terms of the top guys, like I mentioned, I think Davante Adams, he's a ton of targets in this game. I think you see Jordan Love really lean on Davante Adams here. They don't have a lot of like pass catchers outside of him that just like demand targets. Like I can see some of these other guys getting some targets, but I think Davante Adams could still be okay at 8,200. The Chiefs pass defense has been serviceable, but at least it's a positive that David Bakhtiari should be back this week for the Packers. So that should at least help Jordan Love be able to get some time in the pocket. But past that, you know, like in terms of some of these top guys, I do like Mike Williams. I will say that he is somebody that I don't think is going to have any ownership. He's still $7,100. He really has struggled really three of the last 4 weeks where he scored 3.9, 4.7, the monster game against Cleveland where he had 39.5 and then 2.1. So he's been like extremely boom or bust on the year. But I think this is a nice bounce back spot for him. I know that they have Darius Slay on the other side, but I think Mike Williams can get the best here of this matchup here. So at 7,100, I do like getting to him in some spots. You know, Brandon Cooks, I think at 6,100 with Tyrod Taylor back, the Miami secondary just has not been very good this year, and he's only 6,100, so I do like him. And then Marquise Brown, absolutely love him at 6K. Getting to him in this matchup, like I said, I think this game has shootout potential. And you know, Marquise Brown has been really solid this year, and so I do like him as well as sort of a lower tier option at wide receiver. And then I think some of the other guys just in stacks, you know, Tyreek Hill obviously at 7,900, I gotta get some exposure to this game. And then you know, I think some of these other guys are just a little bit more obvious. But where are you at a wide receiver?
Don't look it up. In week 7, how many air yards did Marquise Brown have? That was their game. They trailed the Bengals the entire time. But take a guess how many air yards Marquise Brown had.
120.
321. 321 air yards in one game. I saw that on Twitter this week, and I thought it was somebody joking. I think because it was Ian Harditz posted it. You know, he posts funny tweets all the time, and some of them are half joking. So I legit had to go look it up, and he actually had over 300 air yards in week 7. So that is all that to say, yes, I do like Marquise Brown against Minnesota in that game that we talked about briefly when we touched on the quarterbacks. But 6K is too cheap for him. You know who else is too cheap? $300 less than that. $5,700 Amari Cooper is, you know, it just seems egregious that he's priced that low. And it's also worth noting that CeeDee Lamb hurt his ankle in practice yesterday, and he didn't practice today. So, you know, for whatever reason, if Lamb's limited in that game or is out or anything, Amari Cooper is going to get an absurd amount of targets from Dak Prescott. So I really like Cooper, and I don't really need to touch on any of the top guys. I mean, you hit on them. Adams definitely in play. Diggs is in play against Jacksonville. Ja'Marr Chase, we talked about, you know, Cincinnati throwing the ball a lot. Justin Jefferson is a great run back in Lamar stacks with Marquise Brown on the other side. Justin Jefferson torches man coverage, and the Ravens play a lot of it. I think it's like 3.9 yards per route running against man coverage. So, you know, one of the best in the league against man. Keenan Allen, 6,700 against Philly. Both Philly and the Chargers play the same style offense where you just dink and dunk short throws over the middle of the field all game long. And you know, that could lead to a much higher volume for Keenan Allen and where a game where he could catch a lot of passes. So I think Allen is interesting. We already talked about Marquise Brown and Amari Cooper. Emmanuel Sanders is pretty much, you know, neck and neck with Stephon Diggs in terms of air yards per game. He doesn't get the same volume, but he does get deep shots down the field from Josh Allen. So I think Sanders is very interesting and definitely in play at 5,600. Moving down the list, Devontae Parker gets the best cornerback matchup you can ever expect to have. And that is the worst cornerback to ever probably ever play football. And that's Vernon Hargraves. Parker's getting over 100 air yards per game. He's getting 24% of the targets, 39% of the air yards, barely trails Jalen Waddle at 8.2 targets per game. And Hargraves allowing a 78% catch rate, 17 yards per catch, and a 115 passer rating. So definitely like Parker there. You know, T. Higgins, same thing with Ja'Marr Chase, makes for a great stack with Joe Burrow. Sliding down the list, the Giants are banged up once again at wide receiver. No Kenny Galladay's questionable, limited in return with a knee injury. Not sure if he's going to play, but regardless whether he plays or not, Kadarius Toney should take over slot duties with Sterling Shepard out. And he's going up against Nate Hobbs for the Raiders. Nate Hobbs has allowed 27 catches on 31 targets. And for those of you doing math at home, that's 87% catch rate. So definitely like Kadarius Toney in this game with Sterling Shepard doubtful. Toney is a guy, you know, we saw him make Trayvon Diggs of Dallas look pretty ridiculous when they played a couple weeks back, and we know Toney has monster upside, and we'll see a lot of targets in that game that could potentially shoot out. Outside of that, Jerry Jeudy is a guy that I'm back on this week. We were on him last week. You know, with Sutton projected to be on Trayvon Diggs for most of the game, there's going to be a lot of focus for Teddy Bridgewater shifting inside of the slot for Jeudy against Jordan Lewis, who he should see for the majority of the game. And Jordan Lewis has not been good this year. He's allowed a 68% catch rate, 12 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, and a 101 passer rating. And we already mentioned that, you know, the Broncos are 9-point underdogs in that game, a game that they should be trailing the whole time. And Jeudy, coming back off injury last week, played 75% of the snaps. So it's not like they just needed to ease him back in. He's pretty much a full go at this point. So, again, with Sutton seeing a lot of the Trayvon Diggs attention, I think this could be a big week for Jerry Jeudy. He's only 5K. So I am semi interested as well in the cheap Green Bay pieces. I'm not sure what your interest level is with Jordan Love at QB, but I mean, Lazard's 4,600. If MVS doesn't play, I have more interest in him there. Cause you know, they lost Tonyan for the rest of the season to injury. So, I mean, those tight end targets, I don't think they're going to funnel to Mercedes Lewis. Are they? At least I would hope not. And if MVS is back, he's only 3,700, and we know he's a splash play guy there. So either one of two things happens, right? Either one of these cheap guys potentially gets there, or the Packers just get absolutely boat raced, and they don't hardly score any points. So are you going to play these cheap Packers at all, or are you just kind of fade that whole Jordan Love situation?
I think there's better options to be had at the cheaper tier at wide receiver. Okay. So if I wanted to pay down at wide receiver, I just think there's some guys that I think that make a little bit more sense.
Okay.
Also, breaking news, sounds like Odell is going to be released. That's just what came out here a little bit ago. Okay. They're planning on releasing him tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see where OBJ winds up. You know,
interesting.
Red and gold could look good. I don't know. I mean, they could use another wide receiver, but... so we'll see what happens there, but I just saw that come across. Anyways, I think some guys, you know, so while speaking of Odell, I do think Donovan Peoples-Jones would make some sense at 4,400 as long as he can play. He is questionable, but he did get in a limited practice today on Thursday. So, but we kind of see him, you know, actually, I mean, really the last game they played weeks, last game he played week six, I should say, you know, he had four receptions, 401 yards and two touchdowns. And then he also has a game, you know, the week before that, where he had five receptions for 70 yards, no touchdowns. So the upside is there, and he's only $4,400 at a matchup that you kind of talked, that you kind of hit on, you know, if you like, Joe Burrow this week, or if you play some Joe Burrow, I think, you know, running it back with the Donovan Peoples-Jones, I don't really hate that. I think more people would probably play Jarvis Landry, but I just think that Donovan Peoples-Jones has a little bit more upside and kind of the deep threat, and we kind of get a little bit more big target. So at 4,400, I think he is somebody that I like. And then, you know, we have this Arizona situation right now where DeAndre Hopkins has not practiced yet this week. I wouldn't be surprised if they hold out Kyler Murray. You know, I think we could end up seeing them, you know, maybe just hold out DeAndre Hopkins, just kind of punt this game a little bit. You know, there's no reason to rush DeAndre Hopkins. You know, he left last week's game. He earned and turned himself Rondale Moore. Back in this game. What's that?
Rondale Moore. Is that where you're going?
Yeah,
with
so
this?
That's so I think, and then you have AJ Green, who's also on the COVID list. So those two guys are out. I think that sets up Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore as two pretty decent plays.
Especially if Colt McCoy plays, you would think Rondale Moore would be a pretty heavily utilized guy underneath, right? Because Colt McCoy is more of just a dink and dunk kind of guy as opposed to getting the ball downfield like Kyler Murray is.
Yeah, and I actually think that I think I'm not saying like Colt McCoy is good, but like Colt McCoy is at least a serviceable backup. Yeah. He's not like a complete disaster, and so I think that he can do enough to kind of keep this offense kind of moving. And so I do think that somebody like Rondale Moore does make a lot of sense at only $4,200, mm-hmm. especially on his price tag. With those guys out, they're going to have to hit on somebody. I guess we probably should have hit on Chase Edmonds too. He would make some sense as a pass catching role. Probably somebody that's getting a pepper of targets, a lot of underneath stuff, you know, those short dump offs as well. But I do think these Arizona guys, you know, whether it's Christian Kirk or Rondale Moore, I like Rondale Moore, especially at the price of only $4,200. I think they would be in play. And then a couple other guys, Bryan Edwards, he is only $4,100. I like him as well. Obviously, Ruggs is gone. I think it kind of changes the way that this works now. I think it kind of consolidates targets a little bit in this offense. I don't think it's like a – because Henry Ruggs was getting about 14% of the targets for this team. So it's not like it's a huge vacated targets. I think it kind of flows to everybody, but I just think it kind of opens up opportunity, especially deep at the deep quadrants of the field. And so I do think Bryan Edwards is an interesting target at only $4,100 in a matchup again against the Giants that I'm just not really that worried about. And then you have Brandon Ayuk. I think I'm going to keep playing him. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, he had seven targets last week. He didn't really do anything major, but I think eventually he's going to have a big game. And in a matchup against Arizona, you know, Arizona's been better against the pass than they have against the run. But I do like Brandon Ayuk, and if this game can be competitive, then I think Brandon Ayuk makes a little bit of sense at only 4,100. And then, like I already talked about, Rashad Bateman, 1,000% in play, only 4K. Absolutely love him. I think he's probably the best value play on the entire slate at only
4K. What if Sammy Watkins comes back?
What's that?
What if Sammy Watkins comes back?
That doesn't really concern me all that much, honestly. I think Rashad Bateman is solidified. The last 2 weeks, he's seen at least the last two games that he played before their bye, he saw 6 targets in each of those games. And so I really like Rashad Bateman at only 4K. And I think he's just will be somebody that's really hard for me to get to. I don't mind McCole Hardman at only 3,900. I would have liked him more if Aaron Rodgers played. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But now it's I think it's a little bit thin. They are utilizing him a lot underneath coverage and everything else. But I don't mind getting to him. Past that, in terms of like the super cheap guys, like there's nobody that really just kind of stands out to me as plays that I think that you know that you just would have to play or that you really want to get to, at least right now.
Yeah, no, I think that pretty much covers it for me at wide receiver.
All right, let's jump over to tight end. So far, okay, you have Travis Kelce at 7K, Darren Waller at 6,200, Kyle Pitts at 5,900, too cheap. Mark Andrews at 5,500. George Kittle has a chance to return this week. He's only 5,200, a lot cheaper than what he typically is. Mike Gesicki, 4,900. Dalton Schultz at 4,800. Zach Ertz at 4,700. Dallas Goedert, only 4,500. I don't understand that price. I feel like he should be more expensive than that. And then from there, Noah Fant is still on COVID on the COVID list. He's only 4,400. Hunter Henry at 4K. I have a pretty good idea of one tight end you're going to bring up, and I totally agree. And I think his initials are two vowels. But go ahead.
Let's see if I can do my best here. Albert Okwugbunam. No shot I was ever going to get that right on the first try. But yeah, Alberto, your Missouri boy, $2,600, 9-point underdogs against Dallas if Noah Fant is out. He's a freak, and he's a very good pass catcher, so It's kind of similar to the Dan Arnold situation last week. $2,800 guy that, you know, has upside for, you know, 8 to 10 targets. That's what we're going to get here again out of Albert O in a great matchup against Dallas that, you know, gives a ton of production to tight ends. So I really like him at 2,600. If Fant plays, I like Darren Waller at the top against the Giants with Ruggs out, you know. Maybe Carr doesn't dial up deep balls as much, and maybe he looks Darren Waller's way a little bit more. Because, I mean, Waller hasn't seen that ridiculous target share since week one. But, I mean, in week one, he saw 19 freaking targets. But since then, it's been 7, 7, 7, 8, and 5. So I think, you know, there is upside for Waller to get back to that 10 target range. And 6,200 is the cheapest we've seen him in a while. So definitely like Waller this week. Outside of that, it's pretty much a two-man show in the 4K range for me, and that is Mike Gesicki against Houston and Dallas Goedert against the Chargers. Both playing against defenses that give up a ton of production to tight ends, and they are two guys that are heavily involved in the offense, in offenses that should be throwing the ball a good chunk this weekend. So I really like both those guys. So that's the four tight ends that I have interest in. Darren Waller up top. Gesicki, if I'm playing Tua, Dallas Goedert, probably otherwise, and then Albert O, if Fant is out, I think is pretty much a free square at tight end.
I agree. I absolutely love Albert O if Noah Fant remains out. It's especially at his price tag, it's just going to be really hard. All right, I was just trying to see if there's any update on Noah Fant. There's nothing. So I absolutely love him. I do think Kyle Pitts is definitely in play at 5,900. I think he could turn into a Darren Waller-type situation where he just sees all the targets. I know last week wasn't great against Carolina, kind of a low-scoring game, kind of an ugly game, but he still saw 6 targets in that game. But he only had 2 receptions for 13 yards in that one. But I don't mind Kyle Pitts at 5,900. I just think he can see an incredible target share to make him worth it, especially at the price. 100% agree on Dallas Goedert. The Chargers have been terrible against opposing tight ends this year. They allow the second most DK points on the season to opposing tight ends. So love Dallas Goedert there in that matchup. And then, listen, if Dan Arnold's going to see 10 targets every week, I'm going to be about that life. Okay, he saw 10 targets last week. I do like him. Now it is a bad matchup against Buffalo, but I think whether it's garbage time, I think he's going to see some opportunities here in this matchup against the Buffalo Bills. So, and he appears to be one of the favorite targets for Trevor Lawrence right now. So I like Dan Arnold at only 3,400. I think Tyler Conklin, I think, is in play at 3K in this matchup against them. He saw 7 targets last week against Dallas, 5 for 57 in that matchup at only 3K. I like him against Baltimore. And then, like I said, I mean, if Alberto starts, I mean, and gets the start in this matchup, just slam him in.
Yeah, don't even think twice about it. Just play him. I mean, it's 2,600 for a very, very good pass-catching tight end. In a matchup, they're going to be losing, and he's going to, you know, targets funnel to tight end against Dallas. So, yeah, don't ever think that one.
Yeah. Okay. So, you want to jump to defense that we've already talked about?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just start the build, I'll pick the Kansas City Chiefs as my start to the build if you want. Unless you have other defenses you want to talk about.
I mean, the Chiefs against Jordan Love, I don't know how you really pass that opportunity up. I guess if you wanted to, you could talk about the 49ers, only 2,800 against Colt McCoy. But I don't know, like Colt McCoy, like I feel like that, yeah, he's been in the league a lot. He's probably a guy that's not going to turn the ball over a whole lot, kind of like a very Alex Smithian of him, where he's a guy who's not going to take a lot of risk. And so I don't think it's really going to be there as much. But they're still only $2,800. So I think the 49ers could be an interesting defense to play. But for me, it's Kansas City at 23. Just give me Kansas City's defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're at home. An Andy Reid coach team at home against Jordan Love. I think I'm just going to play that at $2,300. They're going to be popular, but I don't care.
All right, well, let's just go ahead and start our build. We go every single week, we build a lineup for DraftKings, and I've already got the Chiefs in there at $2,300. They're a placeholder in. And so, Maddie, kick it off. Where are we starting?
I think that we could see Lamar break the slate this weekend potentially. So let's start it off with Lamar. $7,300, that just feels too cheap for him. He's an AK quarterback.
All right, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to go Marquise Brown.
All right, and let's run it back with J. Jeff.
Since we have the Chiefs defense, I'm going to play for a little bit of leverage off of the pass catchers there in that offense. I'm going to play Darrell Williams.
Let's assume that Fant doesn't play, and we will have to make a change if he does play, but let's assume he's out and let's play Alberto.
All right. I would assume with Noah Fant, like since he has not had a positive test yet, because if he is vaccinated, I mean, he has to have 2 positive tests in a 24-hour period. And right now he's without that. So he's really trending in probably not playing at this point. So I think it's a pretty safe bet, but we'll see on that. But yeah, so
I locked him in. Tests.
What's that?
You mean negative tests?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Waleedo, Lamar, Chubb, Aaron Jones, Hollywood, Jefferson, Cooks, Alberto, Brian Edwards. He just filled out the lineup for us with $200 left. But
I'm not playing Brandon Cooks, so sorry, Waleedo. I can't do it.
I think we have enough to do this, so I'm going to go – well, I'm kind of at the point where I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to play this week. I think it's a better chance that they milk him in this week and they just let him practice and then they bring him back next week. I think it makes more sense to do that coming off IR. So I'm going to go Austin Eckler at
$7,900. Okay. And if McCaffrey's ruled in, are we keeping Eckler or are we going to switch?
Oh, we would definitely switch.
Okay. All right, so we need to leave that $100 salary then. Okay, so that leaves us $5,350 per for wide receiver flex. And I really like the call that you had with Arizona. I think that this is going to be the first week we see Rondale Moore play a significant amount of snaps. And he's got monster upside every time he touches the ball. So let's put in Rondale Moore, $4,200 wide receiver, leaving $6,500 flex.
All right. So I need to leave $100, which we will, because there's no $6,500 player that we can get to. So that'll be a lock.
DJ Moore is interesting at only $6,400. We didn't really talk about him, but the guy who sees double-digit targets every game.
I think I would be more inclined to play him if Christian McCaffrey played, because we've kind of just seen this, especially with the PJ Walker out there.
True. I don't know. I could argue that Walker's better than Sam Darnold.
Maybe. Maybe. It's not ridiculous. So for me, like, I kind of like Josh Jacobs, but I don't know about starting three running backs. Especially one that doesn't have as limited in the pass catching role that Josh Jacobs has.
Yeah. Is there anybody above 6,500 that you have heavy interest in? Like, I guess Keenan Allen or Nick Chubb? Because we could just, I mean, we could fully punt defense and just play like the Jags or something.
I guess what we could do, I never thought of it doing it like that. So what we could do is jump to Nick Chubb. Yeah, let's do that. So let's switch Nick Chubb with Darrell Williams, and then at least $5,500 at wide receiver or at the flex.
Okay. Yeah, I like that better. Oh. Yeah, because then you've got Parker and Higgins there, both at $5,300.
I'm going to go Devontae Parker.
I like that.
So we'll move Rondale Moore to the flex. That way.
Any I like that team.
So put one in more.
A lot of upside. Some low floors there, but a lot of upside.
Okay. So this is the roster. So we got Lamar Jackson at 7,300. Nick Chubb at 6,700. Austin Eckler at 7,900. We have $200 left if we need to switch to Christian McCaffrey if he plays. Hollywood Brown at 6K. Justin Jefferson. Devontae Parker, Albert O, Rondale Moore, and the Chiefs D wrapping this out with $200 left, which again leaves just enough to be able to swap out Austin Eckler for Christian McCaffrey if he plays. So I love that team. I think that is a really solid team.
I do too. And Walido brought up Amari Cooper there at 5,700 too, which if that was my team, I would toy with getting off the Chiefs D and getting down to just playing the Jags D and putting in Amari over Parker. That would just be something that I would play around with. I don't know that I would do it, but yeah, it's weird seeing Amari Cooper at 5,700, but I do like that team that we just built.
Yeah. So we'll lock that one in, see how it does. Like I said, that's kind of the only thing I would think we would change is if Noah Fant was ruled in, that we would have to come off of Albert O. We'd have to switch some things up a little bit. So that being said, let's lock that one in. That wraps up the week 9 breakdown. I'm just preparing for more craziness to happen because, you know, this is how this week has gone. It's been an absolute shit show so far. So with that being said, if you want more information or you have any questions or want to communicate, you can jump into our absolutely free Discord. You can find that in any one of our YouTube descriptions. It doesn't matter. Click on a video, go to the description. The link is in the description. It's absolutely free to join. Costs nothing. And, you know, like I said, whether you really play DFS or Redraft or Dynasty or whatever you play, best ball or whatever, there's a channel on there for you. It's absolutely free. And I promise you when I say this, that the channel is always lit. There's so many other people always talking in there, and it's absolutely free. So with that being said, I hope everybody has a wonderful week 9. Let's win that money. I want to see some screenshots with all the big time winning everybody has this week. And again, I appreciate it. Be sure to check out the Discord. Follow Maddie at Maddie DFS. I'm on Twitter at FantasyRat13. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Let's go.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know? Dangerous, you know? Think you're a big man? Treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just not wanting me to be someone else.